It's time to put the fun in fungi. Mushrooms and other fungi are one of the themes of this year's Wisconsin Science Festival, taking place at locations all over the state this weekend. Fungi are an enormous and extremely diverse group of organisms. Scientists believe only about 5% of all the species of fungi in the world have been discovered and identified, about 74,000 of an estimated 1.5 million. We're going to talk about just a few of those 74,000 known species today, and we'll zero in on some fungi that live here in Wisconsin. You can join in at 800-642-1234. Bring us all of your mycology and other fungus-related questions. Do you need help identifying a mushroom growing maybe in your backyard? Do you forage for mushrooms? Are they a favorite fungus of yours? Call in with your questions at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. You can also email ideas@wpr.org. Ann Pringle is a professor of botany and bacteriology at UW-Madison and former president of the Mycological Society of America. Ann, thanks a lot for joining us today.
It's nice to be here.
Well, fungus, now it's not a plant, it's not an animal, it's still a form of life. How do we fit it into our sort of framework, our category of stuff that's alive?
That's a great question. So a long, long time ago, when people were looking at mushrooms, people would come to the conclusion that because they didn't move, somehow they were plants. Plants don't move. These things don't move. Fungi must be plants. So I'm in the Department of Botany because that's the historical association people have of fungi. But fungi are really distantly related to plants. And it turns out we know from DNA evidence that fungi are much more closely related to animals than they are to plants. And that's one of the reasons if unfortunately, a person develops a fungal infection, it's really hard to treat because mostly the drugs that would kill a fungus would do harm to a person as well. So that's just kind of another clue that actually fungi are more closely related to us than they are to plants. But they're their own kingdom. They're their own entity, their own group of organisms, actually really distinct from both plants and animals.
Now, that disease thing, I've got a browser open here, and I type the word fungal. Here are the autocompletes: fungal acne, fungal infection, fungal rash, fungal pneumonia, fungal ear infection. And those are real things. And we could talk about to fungus causing disease and other problems. But you think that the fungus world gets a bad rap. They do a lot of good stuff for us and for nature, right?
Yeah, they do. One role that fungi play in nature is as extensions of plant root systems. So no plant in nature grows alone. All plants grow in association with fungi, and some of the really critical fungi that plants grow with are what we call mycorrhizal fungi. That's a complex word, but myco just means fungus, and rhiza means root. So all that word means is that plants have fungus roots, and these fungus roots, these fungi, act as extensions of the root system. They find resources that plants can't otherwise get at and bring those resources to the plant in exchange for carbon. So that's one role. Another role is as decomposers. It's fall, the leaves are falling. Think of what would happen if all of those leaves stayed just as they are. We'd soon have quite a few leaves to deal with, and it would be a burden, but we don't have to worry about it because we put them in huge compost heaps, or the city does it for us, and they decompose and they turn into mulch, which we then use again on our garden. So those are two really important roles that fungi play as plant symbionts and also as decomposers.
Talking to Ann Pringle, professor of botany and bacteriology at UW-Madison, looking at the world of fungus. It is a star player in the Wisconsin Science Festival going on this weekend around the state. You can join in with your questions about fungus at 800-642-1234. Your favorite ones, if you, say, go out and collect mushrooms, if you use fungus in your line of work, which if you make bread or beer, you do. Call in at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. Or email ideas@wpr.org. And let's meet some fungi now. Mushrooms, the most visible. If you're walking and you see fungus, it's probably a mushroom. Can you talk about the diversity, the incredible number of mushrooms out there?
Yeah, mushrooms are really lovely, aren't they? They're the above-ground bit of a much larger body that you can't see that's growing within a substrate. So the body is hidden in soil or hidden inside wood, And when the body reproduces, it sends up a mushroom. So that's what a mushroom is. And the mushroom has spores inside it, and the spores disperse away from the mushroom, and then those spores germinate and form new fungi. That's how it works. But fungi are, if you Google around and just look at images, if you Google beautiful fungi, you'll see mushrooms that are blue, they're yellow, they have spots, they have really interesting sort of network-shaped landing pads for insects. There's just an enormous diversity of form and of color. It's definitely way more than just a little brown mushroom that you find at the grocery store.
Now, speaking of things that are visible and related to fungi, you are doing stuff at the Wisconsin Science Festival. Do I have this right, a display out in Madison?
Yeah, right. So people should come on down to State Street. State Street is a happening place. We've got tons of booths. There are all kinds of vendors. Next to me on one side, there's a soul food vendor. On the other side, there's a jewelry vendor. And then sandwiched between the two of those, we have two booths on fungi. At one booth, you can solve the mystery of how the mushroom got its spots. Probably one of the more famous mushrooms in the world is the Super Mario Brothers mushroom, you know, the red one with white dots all over it. And if you've ever wondered why does it have those dots, if you come down to State Street, you can find out. And then our other booth is going to be showcasing a lot of different uses of fungi in our world. For example, you can use fungi and lichens to dye wool. It's your local dye palette, as my colleague says. Really beautiful purples and greens and yellows and oranges. And we have an example scarf and an example hat knit by a friend of mine that's knit out of yarn that's dyed with lichens and with mushrooms.
All right. And now I mentioned bread and beer. I guess we could throw pizza into the mix too. Anything made with yeast. Yeast, do I have this right, is a kind of fungus?
Exactly. A yeast is a single-celled fungus. And there have been multiple independent evolutions of this single-celled form. So the famous yeast that we cook with is a Saccharomyces. That's the genus of it. But there are all kinds of different yeasts in nature. Some of my favorite yeasts actually live inside the pitchers of carnivorous pitcher plants, which is an unexpected place to find a yeast if you've never thought about it that way before. But those carnivorous pitcher plants that you see around you in Wisconsin and in boggy places, they have little pools of water inside them, and yeast grow inside there as well.
Now, you mentioned a favorite yeast. You study a lot of different kinds of fungus, and it's unfair to ask you to pick a favorite. Do you have a favorite?
Yeah, actually, I do. And it's not actually one I study, but it's a sentimental favorite. There's a fungus, and it doesn't grow around us too much here in Wisconsin. It grows further south, but it's the name of it is Lactarius indigo, and as the name might suggest, it has a very intense indigo blue color. And my favorite thing about it is that if you cook it with scrambled eggs, then you can have green eggs and ham with some mushrooms in it too.
Okay,
it turns your eggs green.
I was surprised at the sentimental favorite fungus, but I get it now. The Dr. Seuss connection. That's awesome.
It's pretty great.
Now, you have your eye on another fungus, a mushroom that we see here in Wisconsin. Maybe we're not supposed to. Golden oyster mushrooms. Can you tell us about those?
Yeah, so that's a developing story and potentially a quite serious one. So lots of people like to grow mushrooms, right? It's a pretty fun thing to do. You can get like a shiitake log, and then you can have your own fresh shiitakes. Golden oysters are a species of oyster mushroom. They're not native to Wisconsin. They're not native to North America. They live in Russia and China and Japan, but they've started to be grown in the United States, these golden oysters, and they've escaped in the state of Wisconsin and in other states in the Midwest and on the East Coast. They've escaped cultivation. So now if you, for example, walk in Hoyt Park in Madison, you see golden oysters everywhere. And that's a real worry. When you see something in such profusion and abundance, you worry about whether it's displacing native species or what it might be doing to local carbon cycles. This is a fungus that was bred to eat quickly, to eat a lot, and to reproduce a lot. So those characteristics of a life cycle are a worry in terms of how it might take over local habitat. So that's a story that's happening right now. I can't tell you a whole lot about it. There was a beautiful master's thesis done by a woman named Andy Bruce at the University of of Wisconsin lacrosse, and that's about as much as we know about it right now. And it's, the thesis establishes that it's escaped cultivation and is spreading. But for the moment, I would say to people, if you're growing mushrooms, maybe consider growing something else. Don't grow golden oysters. Till we have a handle on what's going on there, maybe it's a good idea to not grow them.
Let's bring on a caller now at 800-642-1234. Gary is with us in Brookfield. Gary, hi.
Hello.
What did you want to bring up, Gary?
Well, we've been all of a sudden finding we're having these white puffball mushrooms in our backyard, and one grew the size of a soccer ball, and the other ones were like a large softball, and we found out you can eat them, and so we dipped some, made them in slices and dipped them in egg and then breadcrumbs and fried them in butter, and they were absolutely delicious.
Interesting. And Gary, you said they just popped up. You hadn't had them, and then they were there all of a sudden?
Yeah. Well, one day the neighbor's kids saw them in the back, because we live on the edge of a wetland area, and underneath the trees, they just popped up all of a sudden in the last couple of days. And the next door neighbor kids use them as balls, and they have a little rubbery outside of them, but you peel the outside off and then slice them into bread or like steaks, mushroom steaks.
Gary, thank you so much. It sounds delicious, Anne, but it also makes me think, like, the spread habits of mushrooms. How do they suddenly show up in a new place where you haven't seen them before?
Yeah, first of all, it has been an amazing year for puffballs. Those ones that that Gary is seeing, those are Calvatia gigantea. But I've been seeing lots of other kinds of puffballs too. And if you want a recipe, the most fun recipe I've ever heard for those, first of all, to all your callers, make sure that you really understand the species that you're looking at before you cook with it. Of course, be very cautious. However, giant puffballs are amazing to eat. And if you're sure you've got a giant puffball, slice it in half and you can make a true cheese pizza, because you use the slice of the puffball as the pizza dough, if that makes sense. So you can have a true, like, mushroom cheese pizza by having the mushroom as the base and sprinkled cheese all over it.
That is awesome. Thanks for sharing that story with us. We're talking to Anne Pringle, professor of botany and bacteriology at UW-Madison, former president of the Mycological Society of America. She's talking to us about fungi, a featured performer at the Wisconsin Science Festival going on in locations around the state this weekend. You can join in at 800-642-1234. Are you a forager in the wild or in your own yard, as we just heard? What's the coolest mushroom you've ever found in Wisconsin or beyond? Do you have questions about the world of fungus, not just mushrooms? Call in at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234, or email ideas@WPR.org. The conversation continues coming up on Central Time. This is Central Time. I'm Rob Barrett. We're picking up our conversation with UW-Madison botany and bacteriology professor Anne Pringle. She's telling us all about fungi in Wisconsin and beyond as the Wisconsin Science Festival this weekend celebrates, among other things, the world of the fungus. You could join in at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. If you have a question about fungus, big or small. We got a comment from John in Menasha, who couldn't stay on the line, wanted to know why fungus grows psilocybin, that mind-altering substance in some mushrooms. John wants to know, what is in it for the fungus?
That is a really good question and a profound one. And the bottom line is that for a lot of these, I work with a mushroom that's invasive out on the West Coast, the death cap. It's deadly poisonous. It's Amanita phalloides. And with a lot of these mushrooms that make these crazy compounds, we don't really have a good answer as to the ecology of it. Even when the compounds are really useful, so psilocybin, I think a lot of your listeners will have heard about, but in the death cap, there are substances that are used by molecular biologists and cell biologists to stop cell growth. It's a tool in the lab. You buy it from companies. Companies sometimes ask me, where can I harvest these mushrooms so that we can extract the compounds out of it? So we know a lot about what it does in a laboratory context, and we know a lot about what these compounds do, for example, to humans or to other model organisms, but the ecology of it, why do they make them in nature? Those questions are hardly studied. It's a really good question. I don't have a great answer.
Thanks a lot for the question. Go into some research yourself, John. I'm interested in the answer. Let's go back to our callers now at 800-642-1234. Dave is with us in Madison. Dave, hi.
Hi. Hey, I've got two comments. One, the use of mushrooms in medicine is growing a lot in veterinary medicine. And then the second thing I wanted to mention was just a fun joke.
Okay.
Why did the mushroom buy everybody at the bar a drink?
I don't know, Dave. Why did the mushroom buy everybody at the bar a drink?
Because he's a fun guy.
Dave, thank you for the mushroom joke. And I imagine you've got some mushroom jokes. But let's tackle the first part of Dave's comment there. The use of fungus as medicine, including, Dave said, veterinary medicine.
Yeah, it's, fungi make all these incredible compounds. So I don't think it should be a surprise to anyone that if those compounds can be isolated, if they can be produced at a scale that makes them available to, you know, available, because you can't just rely on finding enough mushrooms in nature, for example, to extract the compound that you're interested in. You have to be able to grow the mushroom or somehow organically, you know, from an organic chemist perspective, manufacture the compound. But with those things in place, it doesn't come as a surprise to me that these compounds can do things to human bodies that are sometimes harmful, but sometimes really useful. In fact, the most common drug that I know of that was isolated from the fungus are statin drugs. So a lot of your listeners will be on certain kinds of statins, and statins were originally isolated out of yeast. There are lots of compounds that are potent within fungi.
Thanks a lot for that call. And the joke, Dave, we are talking to UW-Madison fungus expert Ann Pringle. Back to your calls now at 800-642-1234. Brian is on the line in Appleton. Brian, hi.
Hello. Yes. So we started, my wife and I started mushroom hunting a couple of years ago. She picked up a great book. I think it's Mushrooms in the Upper Midwest. And we've also taught our young children how to identify mushrooms and everything and pick them. And it's a fun, you know, thing for us to do. But I also want to make a comment about the golden oysters. So I didn't realize that those were actually not native. And this year, and we go to a variety of places across Wisconsin. And this year we saw an incredible amount of golden oysters everywhere, especially in the Dane County area. And we picked, I'm not kidding, somewhere around 30 to 35 pounds of those. And we would see logs just covered in whole areas of where logs are just covered in like several different spots. And they look really beautiful because they're kind of setting that golden color against like the green and the brown of the forest around. But I had no idea they're eaten invasive species.
Interesting, Brian. Thanks for that report. And I guess there's no worry about over-harvesting those, Ann, but I wonder, since you said, you know, we're only seeing part of the mushroom, it's over the fungus substrate there, or in the substrate, does picking and harvesting an invasive mushroom really slow down its spread much?
I don't have an answer to that, but it sure can't hurt. if you're picking golden oysters, the one thing I would say is that put them in a paper bag. Don't put them in a mesh bag. Traditionally, for example, often morel hunters will put their morels in a mesh bag, trying to encourage the growth of morels by letting the spores fall out as they carry the mushrooms out of the forest. And with a golden oyster, I would say we don't want to do that. We want to put the mushrooms into a paper bag and get them home. And don't put them in your compost pile. If you have leftovers, throw them away. Dispose of them in the same way. Think about it as garlic mustard, right? If you had extra garlic mustard around, you wouldn't necessarily compost that, or at least I don't. Yeah. Yeah, I am hoping that by getting the word out, people will start to notice these golden oysters and start to hear about it, because this dynamic that your caller is describing in Dane County, that's what I'm hearing about a lot lately.
Thanks a lot for that call. And you mentioned the need to cultivate or farm some kinds of mushrooms if you want to extract, say, a medicinal a part of it at a large scale. Is it difficult, though, to intentionally cultivate a lot of these fungi that we might want to make use of?
Some, no. Like the mushrooms that produce psilocybin are not they're not super complicated to grow. You have to have the kind of the right setup, but if you have the right setup, you can grow them. They're dung fungi, right? So you just have to give them kind of the right kind of food, and you can grow a lot of mushrooms. There are other kinds of compounds that would probably be more usefully manufactured in in an industrial warehouse kind of setting. There's, for example, paper making relies on, when you make paper out of wood, it relies a lot on certain kinds of enzymes that are actually extracted out of a species of fungus, a trichoderma, and that's an industrial vat. I haven't ever seen that myself, but I've read about it. And that scale of industry will sometimes be necessary depending on how the drug is used, et cetera. So you don't always, I wouldn't anticipate that you'd always have to grow the mushroom, but sometimes it's not so difficult to grow the mushroom.
And in our last minute or so, Anne, it seems like it must be exciting to study fungus because there's a lot we don't know, right?
Yeah, it's my old advisor said it's like a gigantic Easter egg hunt, and every time you turn around, there's another wonderful egg. First of all, the people who study fungi are just fun. kind of by definition, if you are wacky enough to think that this is how you want to make your career, then you're pretty great. So it's a great community of people, but the questions are really interesting, and there's a lot of them. You're not wanting for things to do.
Anne, thanks a lot for sharing this with us today.
Thanks so much for having me.
That's Anne Pringle, professor of botany and bacteriology at UW-Madison and the former president of the Mycological Society of America. She talked to us about fungi, which is one of the stars of the show at this year's Wisconsin Science Festival. She's on a break from sharing information about fungus at said festival.